Hello, good evening. Thank you very much for being here tonight and for welcoming with me Yasemin and Nesrin Zamdereli, the two sisters who made the magical film Almanya, Welcome to Germany. They've both traveled with their film to many, many international film festivals. And Yasemin has flown in from LA and Nesrin from Hamburg today. My thanks go to Charlotte Salois here at the Cine Lumière and to Maren Hobein at the Goethe-Institute for making this screening possible with all their help and support. I should also like to thank the Humanities and Arts Research Centre at my university, Royal Holloway, for awarding me a fellowship entitled Welcoming Strangers and giving me some money to host this event tonight. I saw Almanya, Welcome to Germany, at the International Film Festival in Berlin last year, and I immediately fell in love with the film. I saw it twice, first at the Berlinale Palast and then at the Friedrichstadt Palast, and the audience response was amazing. You could really tell that people were enthusiastic about the film and the applause didn't stop after the screening. The film has shown at many festivals and has won numerous prizes, amongst them the two German film prizes for best screenplay, as well as outstanding film. And we will hear about the making and the reception of the film in a Q&A session with the filmmakers after the screening. For now, let me introduce the film. And I promise to avoid the mistake I made some years ago when I was invited to introduce an East German film at the Goethe-Institute, which was The Legend of Paul and Paula. And since this is a kind of cult film from the 1970s, I thought that everybody in the auditorium would know the plot, and my presentation included quite a number of spoilers. For example, I gave away that at the end the heroine dies. And the audience wasn't pleased with that at all, and they were really quite upset. So I'm trying to do an introduction in which I won't give away any plot details today. And it's entitled Families in Motion, Migration with a Touch of Magic. And I just want to make one simple point in my introduction, namely that it is a hugely innovative film, both in terms of its theme as well as in terms of the aesthetics. It is an innovative representation of the Turkish community in Germany and of diasporic families on screen. The film takes the historical landmark of the arrival of the 1 millionth guest worker in Germany on 10 September 1964 as its narrative starting point and mixes fact through black and white footage and fiction in bright color film stock in a tongue-in-cheek fashion. Almanya, Welcome to Germany, centers on guest worker 1,000,001, the entirely fictional Hüseyin Yilmaz, who would have been given a moped and a warm welcome and all the media attention which Armando Rodriguez de Sá from Portugal actually received, had he not kindly let Rodriguez go ahead of him in the queue of labor migrants who arrived at the station of Cologne Deutz on that historic day. What makes Almanya refreshingly different from earlier films about Turkish guest workers in Germany, such as Yasemin or 40 Square Meters of Germany, and also films about clandestine journeys of illegal immigration, such as the Swiss Oscar-winning Journey of Hope, in which a Turkish family is trying to cross the snow-capped Alps and pays with the accidental death of their son, is that Almanya purposely eschews the miserabilism and moral indignation at the flight of Turkish victims of the cinema of the affected. These films bear all the hallmarks of a particular type of social problem film that combines a feature film format with a heavy dose of documentary realism. Such films, these earlier films, feed on binary oppositions and stress the alterity of the Turkish community, and they kind of have a social worker ethos in their attempt to promote social integration of the immigrant community. The comedy, Almanya, Welcome to Germany, takes a very different approach and interprets the euphemistic expression Gastarbeiter or guest worker literally. It rewrites the social history of labor recruitment during West Germany's economic boom period as a story of hospitality. Watching this feel-good movie, one could be fooled into believing that Germany made labor migrants welcome, and that some 40 years down the line even acknowledged a debt of gratitude to them. Almanya glosses over the hardship encountered by labor migrants without being disingenuous. This kind of embellishment is legitimized by the narrative structure of the film and by the transformative power of a child's imagination. That child is Cenk, Hüseyin Yilmaz's little grandson, who is not quite sure whether he is German or Turkish or indeed both. In answer to this question, his cousin Chana tells him how it all began in a remote Anatolian village and how the Yilmazes came to live in Germany two generations ago. Her narrative is translated into brightly colored images and dreamlike sequences of magical realism. But this is not the only way in which Almanya reconfigures earlier cinematic accounts of Turkish-German migration and diaspora. In contrast to most other films in which the Turkish migrants are othered on account of their different cultural values, language, and religion, in this film, the Germans are the other. But I will not tell you by which means this clever inversion is achieved. We encounter settings familiar from other films such as Shirin's Wedding or My Father the Guest Worker or indeed the French film by Ben Guigui, Memories of Immigrants. And I'm thinking here of dorms and shabby hostels in which guest workers were accommodated, multi-shared dorms with bunk beds provided by the employers and in close proximity to the factories and the shipyards or coal mines where they worked. We see these dorms in, or one such dorm in Alemannia as well, but what makes it different is the golden light and the nostalgic music to which we listen, which kind of speaks of the longing of Hüseyin, who hopes to be reunited with his family. So it's a very different emotional feel. I anticipate that in years to come, Yasemin and Nesrin Zamdireli's debut feature will be regarded as a landmark film in as much as it represents the first cinematic representation of a Turkish-German family spanning three generations. Admittedly, there have been other cinematic portrayals of guest worker families in Germany, notably Fatih Akin's Sulino, about a family migrating from sunny southern Italy to the grey and dismal industrialized rural region, to Yüksel Yavuz's April Children and Thomas Arslan's Brothers and Sisters. But all these films are about the first and the second generation. Now, I'm currently working on a book entitled Far-Flung Families in Film, in which I explore the representation of diasporic families in contemporary European cinema. As you will see, if you had a chance to pick up the flyer, which I've kind of put at the entrance, my forthcoming book has a beautiful image from the film we're going to see tonight on its front cover. And in this book, I compare Turkish-German, Black and Asian British and Maghrebi French films. And in this comparison, I discovered that in British Asian cinema, we find quite a number of diasporic families at the center of the narrative, such as in East is East and Bandit Like Beckham and Brick Lane, and I could mention many other films. But in Maghrebi French cinema, at least until quite recently, we didn't. As Carrie Tarr has persuasively argued in her numerous publications on Maghrebi French cinema, the preponderance of multi-ethnic friendship groups of young disenfranchised males in Maghrebi French film points towards the inability of Berbers, that is, sons and daughters of Maghrebi immigrants born and raised in France, to settle down to start their own families because they haven't got a job, they have no money to do so. But when I compared this important finding with British Asian and Turkish German films and Black British films too, I suddenly realized that the family portraits of the third generation are by and large absent as well in these films. Most feature films about migrant and diasporic families in these transnational film cultures feature the first generation and their children. But I can only think of two or three examples, though I may be wrong and I accept a kind of corrections here tonight, where we have a sprawling three-generational family.
One is Abdelatif Kechiche's La Graine et les Mulets, with the English title Couscous from 2007, and the other is Almania, Welcome to Germany. In both films, we encounter families who are thoroughly embedded in the host society and have no intention of returning to their homeland for good. In fact, Kechiche aimed to portray the couscous-eating Béji family as a perfectly normal French family, as he said in interviews. In Almania, the youngest son of Hüseyin and Fatma was born in Germany. He speaks hardly any Turkish and is in many ways more German than his blonde and blue-eyed German wife. Not only does the portrayal of the three-generation family in Couscous and Almania Welcome to Germany represent a novelty, it also asserts that the immigrants of the post-war period are here to stay, and that their home is no longer in rural Anatolia or a village in North Africa, but in our midst. And let me come to my final point, the innovative aesthetics of Almania, which is derived in part from the clever juxtaposition of archival footage, which conveys a sense of documentary realism and, by implication, historical authenticity, and magical realist sequences whose visual exuberance is in keeping with the vivid imagination of the little boy Cenk. In his flights of fancy, the mundane and the difficult aspects of the migrant experience are commingled with the improbable and fantastic. In contrast to fairy tales, which take place in their entirety on another plane of reality, magical realist narratives are grounded in reality, but disrupt the real through momentary magic. In that sense, magical realism is an extension rather than an outright rejection of realism. It transgresses and challenges boundaries of realism, and indeed boundaries per se, and thereby facilitates the fusion or coexistence of possible worlds that would be irreconcilable in other modes of fiction. Due to its propensity to assault binary structures such as the real and the imaginary, the self and the other, and it advocates in-betweenness, plurality and hybridity, magical realism is a representational mode privileged in post-colonial and diasporic text, including Salman Rushdie's novel Midnight's Children, to which the film pays homage. These cursory remarks on magical realism may explain why Almania gets away with chronicling the history of Turkish labor migration to Germany as a family history in which borders and geographical distances and cultural boundaries can be easily overcome, and in which the recruitment and marginalization of guest workers is imagined as a cordial invitation and a warm welcome. And I should like to welcome Yasemin and Nesrin Samdureli onto the stage.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We won't say much. I think there's enough said, so we just... people just say, what will you say?
No, we're really happy to be here, and yes.
Thank you for having us. And we talk after the movie, I guess. So,
please stay.
Maybe one thing I'd like to say, for those who speak German, don't be confused if after a point in the movie you won't understand German, because it is in German. It switches after a point, so don't be confused. It's all right that you don't understand the German. That's all.
Thank you, and please stay for the Q&A.
If you want to.